Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks so much for staying with us. Listen, you're very welcome to give us a call. Your comments on all the stories that we are tackling today. I would like to hear from you. What do you make of what's happening in the DRC? And if you are from the DRC, please let me know what information is trickling in, what you're hearing from family members who are still there. Perhaps you have a family member who is fighting in the DRC as a peacekeeping mission, on a peacekeeping mission as part of the South African army. So let me know if you have family there. Let me know what they are telling you. Of course, we'll keep our eyes on the story as well. But let's move here and coming right back to the city of Johannesburg. We have been monitoring the story of developments that look quite promising on the ground. In fact, last year we spoke about the reopening of the library. It was all good news. We had other stakeholders tell us that, you know, the work that has been done was monitored. There was a lot of engagement with the city of Johannesburg, and everybody seemed to be on the same page and people were working nicely together. However, something quite bizarre is happening at Johannesburg Art Gallery, where we are told there is some movement in sort of a cleanup of sorts there. And on the surface, wouldn't we all want to welcome a cleanup at Johannesburg Art Gallery? However, apparently not quite done the way it should be. The DA Shadow MMC for Community Development, Lyrix Mazibugo, is on the line with us. Let's start with you. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
Please tell us what is happening at the Johannesburg Art Gallery.
First and foremost, we were told at the first point of departure that there is actually a construction that's taking place in the B2, of course, fixing Johannesburg Art Gallery, considering that, of course, there were several reports in the past about the deterioration and the state where it is right now. So, of course, why to welcome the construction? So we thought we should actually go there and see for ourselves, because the site itself was not actually declared a construction site. It was also not declared closed for the public. So we then went to JAC today. After we've released a statement that we'll be doing our oversight as an oversight committee, we got there and we were told that the gate was subsequently closed after one journalist was actually asked a few questions as to what they were doing, and they said we are coming, and they then decided to actually close out, including employees who were actually going to the clinic, and some public members also were going to the public. So yeah, we wanted to see whether or not there is indeed construction that's taking place, considering that it's a heritage site and there are certain observations and protocol, provincial heritage institute or institutes that are responsible for the heritage and the preservation thereof should, of course, sanction such renovations if indeed they are taking place.
So we're
merely there to,
So obviously the point is that you didn't know this was happening, and subsequent to you finding out, have you asked the city what's happening and who's behind the commissioning of the cleanup?
We are certainly not getting information. Lucky enough, whilst we closed out the MMC, who happens to be the political head of the same department, so it means by law, he must actually sign for any agreements or any construction that must actually take place. So we asked the questions and directed to him, is the construction that's taking place confirmed? There is. Who commissioned the construction? Who are these contractors? Of course, given that this is a heritage building, and did they actually even get permission? Why are we not aware? Did even council approve the budget for the refurbishment and for the reconstruction of the building? None of that, of course, seems to be clear at this moment. That's why we'll be advancing an agent debate in council on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was going to ask you when that debate will happen in council. So it's on Thursday, scheduled for Thursday, and the agenda approved?
Because it's an agent motion, how it works, it means it must be submitted. The motion in and of itself must be submitted 4 hours before council for approval.
Right. Okay.
So that determination and consideration will be given to the speaker to decide on whether or not there is an element of agency. But our view is this is an urgent matter and it's been long overdue and it must be allowed. And the NMC, he's conveniently evading any response. That's why there was even a person speaking on his behalf, quite surprisingly, saying he's still new on the job and he's still trying to acclimatize to the environment. But we don't have, honestly, time for people who are diking and diving conveniently, evading any forms of accountability.
Lurix Masibuko, thank you so much for giving us your perspective. That's the DA Shadow MMC for Community Development. We've spoken to David Fleminger before, and we had a conversation because we were quite excited about what's happening at the Joburg Library. He's obviously the chairman of the Johannesburg Heritage Foundation, and obviously they've been keeping an eye on this development. David, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Tamara.
David, okay, nobody opposes, you know, some work, especially when it means that it's going to clean up a really messy gallery and, you know, maybe these are signs of some movement in trying to refurbish some of the problems that the gallery has. Except there seems to be some confusion about what, number one, these people are doing at the gallery, and there has been no consultation. What's your understanding of what's happening there?
Well, to be honest, it came as a big surprise to us. We have been talking to the city and having discussions and meetings as much as we can for over 6 months now about the gallery and about plans to relocate the artwork and restore the gallery correctly with a cohesive vision that's going to work, because the city has tried to fix the gallery piecemeal before and it's only ever made the situation worse. Mm. So we've been in active discussions with the city. At no point did we have any idea that there was going to be active construction going on. We thought we were still in discussions about what to do and how to do it, because it has to be done correctly, as you said. So this came as a complete surprise to us. We have subsequently been asking questions. We don't know what the scope of the work is. We don't know who the contractors are, and we don't know who commissioned the work. And these things do have to be done carefully. This is a heritage building with artworks inside it. Mm. It requires specialized knowledge, and it requires specialized expertise. So we are very concerned that despite us being in communication with the city, we have not been kept in the loop with this latest development.
Have you had access to the gallery? Were you able to peek through and see what's actually going on there?
We have not actually visited the gallery for a couple of months now, because, you know, we've been there and we've seen the conditions, and we were not aware that any work was going on. So we actually haven't had a site visit for a while now. But as far as we know from media reports and from, you know, people who've spoken to us, the conditions haven't changed in the gallery. So, you know, when we saw the media report on Friday about workers in the gallery, that was quite alarming.
So obviously you've been engaging with the city. What was the plan? When had they hoped to start doing some proper work? And were you in the loop about that main plan?
So we approached the city 6 months ago or more now with a fully funded comprehensive plan that would see the artwork relocated and restored and digitized, and then we would then start a stakeholder engagement to try and determine the best overall plan for the building itself and, you know, help find funding for the restoration. But essentially, we gave them the first step of the plan, which was the relocation of the artwork, which is the most urgent thing with the rest. The city responded by saying, thanks, but we have our own plan. They wouldn't take the easy win. They insisted they had their own plan, but they wouldn't give us any details about their own plan. We subsequently have had meetings with the mayor and with various people within community development. Mm. And the last we heard is that the city was going to appoint a lead organization or a lead agency to actually take over the JAG project. And we were quite happy to work with that lead agency as long as they had the authority, so that we could actually get some forward momentum going, as opposed to having endless meetings with various people in various positions in the city. And that's what we were waiting for. We were waiting for this agency to get to get a letter of appointment from the city, and we were quite looking forward to, you know, engaging with this lead agency and the task team and moving on. So that's why it does seem like there are different people within the city who are pulling in different directions, and we really need certainty, and we need a decision now in terms of how we are going to address the problem. There is help available, there is assistance available, there is funding available, but we need certainty and we need a way forward.
Have you reached out to the city, you know, since these reports came through?
We have reached out informally to various people within the city, and we are awaiting their responses. There does seem to be quite a lot of confusion about, you know, whose authority commissioned the workers and what their scope of work is. And we are waiting to get some clarity on that. But like I said, it does seem to be some internal confusion in terms of getting those answers.
David, just to manage people's expectation, of course it's lovely to have some movement and things happen, but we would have to be patient with a project like this. As you said, you know, it's a heritage site, number one, and number two, you've got some really precious artwork in there. So this would not be an overnight kind of thing. It would have to take some time.
Absolutely. This is a big project. I mean, in fact, it's a very big project. But we've split it up into phases. The first phase is to protect the artwork, the collection. As we know, it's a very important collection. It's got old European art. It's got modern contemporary African art. It's got ancient African artifacts. It's a huge collection, very important. And, you know, that is not being stored correctly, and the building leaks, which is causing water to get on the artworks, and there's no heat control and that kind of thing. So the most important thing, especially in the rainy season, is to get the artworks relocated to a place of safety where they can be properly categorized and digitized and restored. So that's phase one, and that could begin within a few weeks, and, you know, once we get the authorization. And that would take up to 5 years to complete entirely. The next phase would be to look at the building, get the correct heritage architects and engineers and practitioners in as a collaborative task team, determine the best way to fix the entire building. In the past, piecemeal bits and pieces have been done to the roof, but nothing's ever worked. This needs a full top-to-bottom rethink with the right people. So then we know what our scope of work is, and then we can see what the funding will be required to execute these things and appoint the correct contractors with the right experience. That process will also take probably up to 5 years, if not a little bit more. So ideally, if we can start the two processes simultaneously, within 5 years, the building would be repaired and the artworks would be able to return home. As well as having a digital archive of the artworks, which would be happening at the same time. Thereafter, there's a third phase, which is actually looking at the governance of JAG, because at the moment, JAG, the people working at JAG, have very little authority over their own business. They don't have a bank account, and anything that they want or need, they have to apply to the city, and it goes through a whole complicated hierarchy of managers and executive directors, and, you know, they have very little control over their own finances and their own governance. And we want to set up a symposium with stakeholders and industry players and cultural practitioners to try and determine a better way for JAG to be run in the future so that this scenario doesn't happen again.
What were the discussions around the surrounding, I don't know, I don't want to call it chaos, but you know what I mean.
The neighborhood. The surrounding neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a very valid question. We do know that the Joubert Park, and specifically the very busy taxi rank right outside the gates, do deter visitors. We are aware of this. That is a very much bigger issue that requires all kinds of urban renewal and, you know, large-scale urban planning to try and correct that. We would certainly support that. And one of the things we've been speaking about, which would be discussed as part of the symposium that we're planning on launching, would be to discuss the potential of not leading the JAG building, but potentially reinventing it a little bit so that it becomes more community-focused and more responsive to the community. And we have certain collections in that building, and then other satellite galleries around the city would contain other parts of the collection, because the collection is actually too big to display in JAG. So there are concepts about that, but this would all have to be discussed and agreed on a broad-based kind of coalition to, discuss the purpose of JAG in the 21st century.
Did you say funding is not quite the issue? In other words, there are efforts to bring in some money from other people outside of the city to get this going. So that's not actually the problem at the moment.
At the moment, no. We have, so this is the Heritage Foundation and the Friends of JAG have spent a lot of time putting together a very credible relocation plan. They have, in principle, got donor funding from a variety of sources, some corporate, a couple of embassies, some cultural funds. We have letters of support from the Minister of Arts and Culture, from Business Arts South Africa, from the Lutyens Trust. The building was designed by Edward Lutyens, and he left the trust, and various other local and international organizations. So for the first part, the relocation, funding is not the stumbling block. This is a fully funded plan. All the city has to do as the legal guardians of the collection, because remember, the collection belongs to the people of Johannesburg. The city is just the custodian. But as the custodian, all they have to do is give us the authority to continue, to go ahead, rather, and it's all done. It's an easy win for the city, and we just encourage them to, stop putting obstacles in the way and allow this plan to go ahead. It's being presented, it's self-funded or fully funded, and we don't see any potential downsides, and we encourage the city to take the win.
Really appreciate you giving us some update on that front. Chairman of the Johannesburg Heritage Foundation, David Fleminger, thank you so much for your time. And we'll obviously keep an eye on this. Council is going to be sitting for this particular debate on Thursday. Well, hopefully they will sit once they've agreed on the agenda. And then we'll see. We'll see what happens when they all go and have a conversation about what's actually happening at JAG.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.